Yes, yes, that's what it is. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And happy Labor Day weekend.
You bet.
May I?
Yes, ma'am.
We're happy to see anybody that comes. And the rest of us that are regular attendees are going to have to step up and somebody be out there and say, hi, glad you came. We're glad you're here. We've got to have that or we're going to be like so many other churches, so big. And so,
in respect, I got an idea.
What's your idea?
I got an idea. Let's nominate you.
Okay. You going to give me here early?
That's fine.
All right. Linda. I'm up for it. Okay. The first one.
Sounds like a plan. Good idea. Let us, been a long week, guys. Let's open with a prayer. Who's got a blue insert? This special person. Yeah. Do you get? Yeah, you do. Congratulations, and being that that we're kind of you're pointing out something. I want to point something out real quick. If you have an idea or suggestion how we can improve the service, or who's doing what, or how it should be done, I'm here. 5 days a week, 4 days a week, in the even time from 12 to 5, I'm available. My phone is there. I'm doing something else right now. Thank you. But Sunday morning, 10 or 15 minutes, when I'm preparing for a service, I would appreciate if you didn't come to me in that moment with problems. That's not the time or place to discuss problem. Now, in the middle of the week, if you want to come in and sit down at the office and spend 2 hours talking to me, I'll make that time for you. But 15 minutes before this, yes, ma'am?
I can testify to that because I used to speak professionally, and I was just like dead the 15 minutes before I was to go on. I just had to just hold everything inside me.
Thank you. And even if it is a problem, 15 minutes before the service, I'm not going to be able to help fix it in that moment. You know, just come up to and say, you know, Pastor, I'd really like to make some time out to come and talk to you about some ideals, something I got going on, and I'm open to any suggestions. I really am. So thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to come here today and lead this service and build this body and push Satan out, you know, to put, you know, and not divide, but let the Lord conquer this service and us, this church, and us work for the common welfare, you know, and not look for the differences, but look for the similarities that we have in you, Lord, and how we can go forward together and build a new horizon in your name through your precious grace of your Son on the cross for this community through this church of God here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Announcement. We got there. We should have a solution with what's going on with the Bible study next Sunday. And that's where we'll be next week. John 10:1, church council. Food and fellowship on the 19th. This free meal. Oh, while we're on that, Tom and Cheryl made it back from the wedding, but why should they were down there? The wife tested positive for COVID, so that's why they're not here today. They're in that kind of quarantine, whatever that process is. and they said hi to everyone. Starting in October, we're going to start doing our fundraisers are for the military for these. These are faith comes by hearing. These are used. I use these two ways. Is one, the soldiers, if they're overseas and are in a hostile area, they can listen to the Bible and they're not on the phone, so it can't be tracked by the enemy. And the other way is they hand these out to veterans in homeless communities around. That's really, it gives them an opportunity to have the Bible to listen to. So that's what they do with this. It's a little stick in here with headphones, and it's the Bible's on it, and you can just listen to it. So it's a really, we'll start that. And of course, it's the 11th is the actually Veterans Day, but on the 14th, Zach, being that he's a veteran, I don't know if most people know that, but he's a veteran, spent six years, was it? Five years. And he's going to give his testimony about what it means to be a veteran and a Christian, you know. So I'm looking forward to that personally. Now,
and indeed, I'm singing that today. Thank you.
Boy, ain't that a miracle. That young man. Get an opportunity to go look at it. If you don't know his story, it's very, very, very touching. How God can work if we seek God. And how Christ can heal if we seek him. We're going to be in John 20:41 this morning. And we're going to just be kind of looking at some key things that touch to me right here that really jumped out of what's going on here with Christ and the blind man and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. And like always, Osborne's going to read our scriptures for us.
We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from."
The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
Stuff there, ain't it? And there's a lot going on there with the blind man and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. Through 20 here, through 23, we really see what's happening, right? And what the Jewish leaders are doing is they're laying down the law and they're starting to operate in the concept of fear. That if you acknowledge that this man has anything to do with God, we're going to throw you out of the synagogue. We're going to throw you out. Back then, that was a place that you went to be in fellowship with God, that you worshiped and you praised God. So basically what they're telling people is, we will sever your relationship with God if you acknowledge him. We will put you out. And you will no longer be able to come here and have a relationship with God, as we see what a relationship should be. That's scary stuff. The parents was like, let him talk for himself, you know, because we don't want to be through and out, because we want our relationship with God. He's of age. He can tell you what happened. You know, but that's really horrible that the church leaders, that's where they got to. See, if you notice this pattern here, and what the pattern is these old established church leaders, they have made up their mind the way things has got to be, and no matter what Jesus ever does, he's not going to win them over. Because he's a threat to what they think is their authority. Instead of them coming alongside Christ and saying, oh, how can we help you, Messiah? This is what's wrong with Jesus. That's what's wrong with Jesus. That's why he can't do it. And that they were just trying to condemn him without full investigation. Not knowing that he's the one that can condemn. That he's the one that can pass judgment on mankind. So they summon him back. And they're just doubling down. Telling him, glorify God. You know, tell the truth. This man's a sinner. They're not seeking the truth. They're seeking what they want to hear. They're wanting this guy to say, yeah, it was all set up. It was a con. It was a scam. It was a whatever. You know. But he didn't. You go on down through 25. His question is, do you want to be his disciple from 25? They go back and forth. But in Risotto, you wanting to be his disciples too? You know? And they say they know nothing of that, right? No, they Moses. They know nothing of this man. You his disciples? You know? And you get here at 30 through 34, and you look here. Amazing thing happens here. Here's a man that we know was blind, has no learning about the Word of God, has set out in all his life, pretty much been a beggar for people to give him money to survive on because he's unable to support himself, you know. And what happens here? I think the Holy Spirit kicks in here. Is what does he start doing? He starts teaching the Jewish leaders about who God is. Who God really is. I'm amazed you don't know who this is. It's unbelievable. You don't know? You don't know? You're the leaders and you don't know? This man is a God. If he wouldn't, he couldn't do nothing, right? And here's the amazing thing with these so-called well-learning, know-the-book-so-well Jewish leaders. They had no rebuttal for him, except to call him a sinner and throw him out. They had no biblical a bottle for him. They could not debate the topic with him. They had no answer for him. Here's a nobody that was sitting outside 2 days ago, and now he's with summoned by the most highest Jewish leaders of the time, and they cannot even debate the authority of God with him. They have no answer for him. But you was born a sinner. You have sinned. We'll throw you out of here. I'd hate to know that I'd studied and supposed to have been an expert in something all my life, and a guy that has never spent any time in study stumped me with two or three statements, and I have no answers for him. And still can't figure out maybe this guy is who he says he is, this Jesus guy. But no. And we know he doesn't have any learning. If we look closely here, is Jesus gets wind that they throw him out, right? And Jesus goes find him. And Jesus asks him the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? This guy, I don't even know who that is. No, I don't know. Tell me who it is. Tell me who the Son of Man is where I can believe. And Jesus makes it clear to him that I am the Son of Man. I am him. The one speaking to you, the one that healed you, the one that you see, I am him. And he calls him Lord and worships him. So I asked a question to myself. Now, Jesus knows everything. Why did he ask this man a question that he knew for a fact that the man didn't know the answer to? Why would he do that? Well, we go down a little farther and we know who's listening, right? The Pharisee, the Jewish leaders. Jesus knows that they are eavesdropping. And he knows that they are well studied. And he knows what this statement means. So you go back to Daniel 7, 13, 14. Go look it up when you leave here. It's terminology that Daniel used to explain the coming of the Messiah, coming from the clouds. Here he comes. He has total authority over mankind. His kingdom will last forever and will not perish or fade away. So that statement, do you believe into the Son of Man, was not for the blind man, because the blind man already believed. It was to the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. You're not sure who I am? Listen to what I asked him. I am the Son of Man. You know you know your book learning, right? You know your Daniel, right? So I'm telling you, I am who I say I am. Do you hear me? But they didn't hear him. It still fell on deaf ears. You know? And then question, are you saying we're blind? Now are you accusing us to be blind? Huh? We are the leaders, the followers of Moses, and you're accusing us of being blind? And Jesus just tells them point blank, yes. You say you can see, you're blind, spiritually blind. God Almighty is standing in front of you, talking about a new future for mankind, a new way for mankind, and you refuse to see it. Because you want to know and live in second and third information that has been handed down to you from Moses. That Moses is your authority on God. It's the stumbling block for Christians always. It's we get in a body of Christ somewhere and we get people that have authority in God that teaches us stuff and improves our knowledge of God, and we get comfortable in our own skin around God. Then we get locked in to that teaching and we put God in a box and we make a decision that God cannot do any more than what I know. And if it doesn't look like something that I'm comfortable with for the future, it can't be of God. I hate to tell you, God is not a one-trick pony. He is not. No matter what Satan does in this world to humanity, God is always adjusted and prepared to overcome any. He has a counter. You know, God ain't. I don't take my crescent wrench out of my box and start beating on a nail with it. I don't. And I don't take my hammer out of my box and start trying to get a bolt to loosen up and beat on it. I don't do that. So what in the world would make you think God would not be able to adjust and use different tools at different times? They are so set in their ways, they're going to go to hell, and they don't care. All the way right up. But boy, they'll be talking all the way into the pits of hell and the flames and the damnation of hell about how much they know about Moses and never knew nothing about the Messiah. It's been the biggest challenge of my life, is being willing to adjust and learn something new. I'm finna make a powerful statement here, and I believe every word of what I'm finna say. God Almighty cannot be put in a box. God Almighty is the God of the future. God Almighty uses the past to confirm his vision for the future. But he does not use his past to keep people trapped in the past of the way man thinks it should be done. It's an old saying, you're growing or going. You're getting closer to God or you're not. There's no fence walking in Christianity. Everything I do as a Christian will impact me spiritually. Everything. How I pet the dog on the head in the morning. Everything. And it's even doing one or two things for me. It's bringing me closer to my Lord and Savior, where I'll be worthy to be in the king with him, in the kingdom with him and his Father, or it's pushing me farther and farther away from him. My behavior. You know, people think God is a punishing God, you know, and he's not a punishing God. He's not this vindictive, hateful God. That's not who God is. Now, is there consequences, physical consequences for sin on this earth? Yeah. But if I take a notion to start drinking tomorrow, and I drink the rest of my life, and I get to be 80 years old, and I end up with cirrhosis of the liver, who did that to me? Did God do that? Or did I do that? I chose to reap the rewards of that sinful behavior, and I also reap the consequences of that sinful behavior. Does that make God a hateful, vindictive God? No. If I'm constantly telling my little 7-year-old kid, please, baby, don't play in the road. Please, baby, don't play in the road. Please, baby, don't play in the road. And it sneaks off and plays in the road and get hit by a car and suffer the consequences of getting hit by a car. Am I a bad parent? Was I a mean parent because I was trying to tell that child not to get in the road? Because it wanted to be in self-will? It did not want to follow the directions of the one that has more knowledge about life than it did? And that's what happened to the Pharisees here. They got to the point that they no longer wanted to follow the direction of the one that had more knowledge about life than they did. So all their studying, all their learning, all their telling everybody else how to do it accomplished them nothing but getting a ticket on the first class ticket on the train to hell. Because Jesus didn't teach the way they wanted him to teach. You talk about some arrogant. You know, how dare God come down here in the flesh and not teach the way I want him to teach? Who does God think he is? Don't he know I've studied the word? Whew. I don't want to be that guy. See, I believe if you pray for God's guidance with a sincere heart, he will guide you and he will teach you. And he will teach you just the way that you need to learn if you have an open heart. See, I don't need my mind so much open to God. And I don't even need my eyes so much vision where I can see the church and the book and stuff. I need my heart open to God. That's the true person that's not blind. The person that says, God, I'm an open book, teach me. And that's my message for the day. Is, are we listening to God's word to hear his voice, or are we listening to God's word to dismiss my brothers and sisters in Christ, my knowledge of God's word? It's an inside job, people. I know y'all have heard me say that before, but it is. It's an inside job. It's real simple. Christianity is real simple. It is so simple. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's simple. When I get this book and I take it and I start trying to tell Brother Osborne how he ain't doing it right and with the word of God, and I try to fix Sister Linda with this book because she ain't doing it right. She's not cutting the donuts up right in the morning time. Brett's not getting over here in time to make the coffee when I want the coffee done. You know, I'm no longer practicing Christianity. I'm practicing blaspheme is what I'm practicing, and organized religion. When I'm going to take this book and fix you. I'm practicing Christianity when I take this book and I'm trying to fix me. That's Christianity. Opening my heart and making sure you have the opportunity that I had. That's Christianity. It's not my place to manage your relationship with God. It's not. As a pastor, or as a Christian, or anything, it's not my place to make sure you do it right with God. It's all I can do to make sure I do it right with God. And I still need help. God constantly correcting me. You know? Because I know from just raising children myself that God is capable of operating with me in the way that I need to be and meet me right where I'm at if I step to Him and say that. And He can do the same with you, and the relationship that He needs to work with you may not be the same that I need. And I know that because I raise kids, and I know that what would work with this kid would not work with that kid. And what worked with that kid would not work with this kid. And the last thing I needed was this kid telling me how I needed to fix this kid. You know, brother, you know what's wrong with my brother, Daddy? Let me tell you. I tell you what, he needs a whooping. That's what he needs, you know. And I'm like, baby, you need to be working on you. You need to be worrying about you getting out of a whooping instead of trying to get your brother a whooping. That's what you need to be focused on, because you got your own stuff going on, you know. I wouldn't be worrying about that. Jesus said, I wouldn't be worrying about that little speck in your brother's eyes when you're walking around with a forest in yours, you know. But that, I always wanted, I don't know why she did. She always wanted to get her brother a whooping. I don't know why. But boy, if she thought he did something, he could get a whooping, she'd come running to tell you why. Do you know what he did? You know, we do that as grown people, as Christians. We'll run and say, do you know what that brother did to another brother? And do you know what God, what would God think about what that brother did? Maybe that brother did the best he could do in the situation that he was in with the skills that he had. And maybe he's praying his rear end off that God will make him better tomorrow. You know. The finished product in God is what I'm looking for today. Judge me then. Judge your brother then. Judge your sister then. And that finished product. That product when God is finally done and they're in the kingdom of heaven and they're there with the Holy Spirit and they're there with the Father and they're there with the Son and they're spiritually one again and God is finally done, then pass judgment on them. And then you can't pass nothing but they are righteous. You can't say anything else about them. And if you do, it's a lie. Then judge them. But only a fool will judge God's work when he's in the middle of it. This Bible's taught me that never ends well for folks that do that. So thank you for letting me share this message today. God bless you.
One, two, three.
Cause thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends.
time for final prayer. Does anyone got any, someone that may not, let me tell you who's on my list for the day that I know of. And then you throw someone in there too if I'm missing anyone. I got Faith, you know, Byers with the head injury. Here she's doing better. Of course, Miss D texted me this morning and said she was not feeling so well or something, but she wasn't going to make it this morning. Of course, Miss Beth Ann and Mike and that what y'all are doing, keep them in your prayers. Jackie called me this morning. She's sick and at home, so we'll keep her in the prayers. I'm beginning to wonder about that shoulder. I'm wondering if it's healed. Not yet, so we're going to keep her. Because you're looking like God done got you about fixed. It looked like there was that shoulder. Yeah, doing better. So we'll keep Sherry in our prayers for that shoulder to completely heal. We will pray that and be thankful that Jimbo is back here again and with us and able to be here. Bulldog. Bulldog's one of my favorite people, really, in a way. And always enjoyed Bulldog. Miss you, Bulldog. Be glad when you get back. And, of course, our military families and the ones overseas and the innocent, you know, people trapped in that. It just was over there trying to do the right thing, and now they found themselves in Armageddon. You know, that God will do their protection and stuff. And, of course, my folks down south after the hurricane there, I've been in touch with some of them, you know, and they're having a hard time. And I'm trying to put it all back together. And really, am I forgetting anyone?
I'd like to add Bobby Vice Bryson to that. She's been having infusions and just a ton of medical issues. Just want to lift her up.
Keep her in our prayers. Anyone else? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask for your blessing and your guidance and your wisdom through each and every one of these troubles in these individuals' life. And they just realize that all things are possible through you, no matter what life puts in front of them, what Satan puts in front of them. It's nothing that you can't overcome. And Satan's a liar, and the proof is not in him. And if we seek you and seek the covenant of your blood of the Lamb, that all things can be healed in your way, in your time. Would anyone else like to pray?
Church, Father, and help us to step up and do the jobs that are out there and that need to be done. We can't, Paulus can't do it. He can't do absolutely everything. We have to be a part of this. If this church is going to grow, we ask in Jesus' name.
And dear Lord, just hear these prayers and remember that if this body, if we remember, if we could, you know, that if we just stand together in you, we cannot be divided. In Jesus' name, we pray these prayers today. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.